I'd like to speak about the judgments and the blessings of God. God is multifaceted. He does what he will in the affairs of men. His utmost and main purpose and desire is to help souls make heaven. And that's probably our desire too, is to help souls make heaven. And I'm thankful today that we're serving a merciful and a loving God. And he works with us through two basic ways, if I can put it that way. One is judgments, and the other is blessings. Now, I'm sure being the human side of us, we all like the blessings of God. I like the blessings of God, appreciate his goodness, and every time that he gives us the things that we think we need, that every time he blesses us and brings encouragement into our hearts and lives. But he also uses judgments in order to make amends or correction in the lives of man. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Joel. Joel. He's the second of the minor prophets in the Word of God. He was a contemporary of both Hosea and Amos. Joel was a man that prophesied in the southern kingdom of Judah. That's where Bethlehem was. And his prophecy, or his work and labor, was in the southern kingdom. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the purpose for his prophecy, Joel, was to turn the nation at that time, the children of Israel, to turn them back to God in preparation for the great day of the Lord, as the Bible says. To help people to see their need and get understanding that they're kind of off track, they need to make some amendments in their lives. And God has a way of doing those kind of things. Sometimes it may not be very pleasant to the flesh. It may be a little hard for us to maybe deal with or get a hold of it. But God has a way. And he has that way because of his mercy and of his love to each and every one of us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He just wants us to get it right. He wants us to get it right. Look at Joel, the very first chapter. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. The word of the Lord. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Let it go on to hear the word of the Lord. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. And howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Now to you and I, Joel probably has some strange language. He has a way of describing things in his own mind and his own way. But yet, nevertheless, he pretty much sticks to the point of the message. The word of the Lord, it says, came to him. And he pretty much sticks to the task with a burden and a desire for God's people to be in the place that they can bless God and God can bless them. We all know about the times that Israel had their difficulties and their problems. They had many different kings. They had good kings and bad kings. The kings came, the kings went. But the bad kings got Israel in trouble many times and got them to turning to idols and turning to wickedness and evil and worshiping God in ways that God would not accept, could not accept, because He's a holy God. And so God would send the prophets to remind the children of Israel, you're off track here. You're not serving me in the way that I asked you to serve me. And so He describes something here in a way that He describes the four stages of a single type of an insect. Why He chose to use an insect, I do not know. But there's really a lot of truth to it, a lot of good to it. And Lord, help us to understand that which the palmer worm hath, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. The four stages of a single type of insect that we would call the locust. If you would look in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, in verses 38 and 42, you will see that Moses prophesied to the children of Israel that God would use locusts to punish His people if they were disobedient. So it was a prophecy all the way back to Moses' day that God would use locusts. He used locusts in one of the plagues down in Egypt, didn't He? He plagued them with the locusts. But I want to help us, by the help of the Lord, to try to understand a little bit about what He's talking about here. First of all, He mentions the palmer worm. If you look up what that involves, the palmer worm means to gnaw, to gnaw. It was the first stage of hatching of this insect. And it meant to gnaw. You go out, gnaw means to chew. It chews and it gnaws and it's aggravating. And God said, and the man of God here said, that which the palmer worm hath left. Then He said, hath the locust eaten. So the palmer worm was the stage of the insect where he would just gnaw on things, chew around on things. And then He said, that which the left hath the locust eaten. I told you these glasses aren't doing me too good, but it's best I have. And the locust. Locust means to be many. And they come in swarms, don't they? And they're a great nuisance and they're a great pest. The locust stage of this insect is where it gets its wings and it begins to fly. And folks, when there's a little, you ever sit in your house and a fly get in your house, they can be aggravating. My wife and I sometimes sit there kind of funny. I grab the fly swatter and we wait for him to come around. He comes flying around. By the time I can get the fly swatter up in the air, he's gone again. But I got one the other day. He sat around a little too long and I got him. But those things are aggravating. Those things worry a man. They get you down. They get your attention. These insects that he's describing, this insect, was given to get their attention. You know, how many of us down through our lives does the Lord come along and make amends in the direction that we're going or how we live in? What all is involved? What does He do with you to get your attention? Sometimes it's so hard, especially in today's age, to get people's attention. But the Lord needs our attention, folks. He needs us to be focused upon Him. He needs us to be focused on the important things that are in life. We get so focused sometimes on things that are menial, things that are just aggravating us at the time. But folks, these things were meant that God's people, the children of Israel, that God could get their attention and they would focus on what was really important, and that was to get back to God. because they'd gotten off track. So he said again, "That which the pomo worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten." The stages of this insect, the cankerworm. The cankerworm means to lick off. Means to lick off. It's the stage in which it does its most destructive work, the cankerworm. It's the stage where, if you can imagine this thing on a plant, on a green plant, the leaves on this plant, it's the stage where they begin to chew and to begin to gnaw and they begin to eat on that plant. They can destroy a plant in just a matter of hours if there's enough of them. They can destroy it and they can bring it down. And God, what is it going to take to get people's attention today? God sent these things here. He said that which, he's talking about the locust devastation here upon the children of Israel. But these are descriptive words. And they're really powerful words that help us, you and I, to understand the lengths that God will go to because of His love for our souls. Because of His desire. We say sometimes, you know, I want to go to heaven. But we say God wants us to go even more than we do. And I believe that. I believe His desire is for you and I to make heaven our home. So He says here, that which the locust hath left has the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. You know, what he's saying here is that by the time that this insect goes through its stages and begins to devour and work and destroy, there's nothing left. Have you ever, when the Lord saved your soul, when the Lord came along and talked to your heart, did you feel like I did? I felt, Lord, there's nothing left. I've ruined my life. I've taken my way. Did it my way and lived the way that I wanted to without your help and your grace and strength. And I'm to the point now where I'm helpless. I don't have anything really to offer you except this bag of trash that's on my back. And the Lord wants us, and every one of us, we come to that place as God calls upon our hearts. There's nothing left. This insect, it destroyed it all. It took out all of the lusciousness of the children of Israel. It destroyed their food crops. There was a famine in the land. These kind of things were going on with the children of Israel. And God sent a prophet, Joel. Well, we know we talk about some of the major prophets, but these minor prophets were important too, and their word was just as important because it was from the Lord. Anytime the word of God comes from the Lord, it's important to us, isn't it? So the last one, that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now you all know what a caterpillar looks like. You see them kind of inching along on the ground sometimes, or on a leaf, or in the grass. They're a worm that just kind of eats along. It's the last stage. And the caterpillar means to devour, or to consume, the final stage of the insect. God, in His mercy and His love, I hear people say sometimes, why does it have to be that way? Why are things getting so hard and so difficult in my life? God will go in His mercy and His love to mankind, folks. He'll go to whatever lengths that He has to go to try to get people to understand how destitute that they really are. How much they really need a mighty God, a Lord and a Savior and a friend and a comforter and a guide through this old dark world that we live in. The Lord wants us to realize we need God. So Joel the prophet says, the Lord's sending the locusts. And He's sending all these things to come to get your attention, to cause you to turn your hearts back to God. The caterpillar means to devour or to consume. And it's the final stage of this locust insect. It reaches its full growth and devours everything in its path. Now let me ask you something. Didn't Jesus say, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy? The devil wants to destroy everything in our path. He wants to destroy our bodies. He wants to destroy relationships. marriages, homes, families. He wants to destroy countries, communities, cities, governments. He wants to destroy, doesn't he? He comes to steal. First he steals from us, and then he will destroy us. And he wants to kill us. He wants to destroy every one of us. The devil's really this locust that we're talking about this morning. For you and I today, we don't live back in the days of the children of Israel. We live in our day. But nevertheless, there are things that we deal with in life. And there are things that we are being challenged with right now in this time that we live in. These are dangerous times. They're perilous times. And the devil will use whatever he can use to destroy you and I. And I want us, everyone, to just talk to yourself. Just look in your own mind and look in your own heart. You know, I've been saved for this and thus amount of time, but what is the devil doing with me? What kind of thing is the devil using to try to get my attention, to try to destroy me, to try to bring me down? What is the devil doing with me right now? Because I'll tell you something, if you may be saved, but the devil's working on you. Don't care who you are, the devil's working on you. And he wants to tear down, and he wants to destroy. Just like this locust, these palmer worms, and these canker worms that he describes here in the reading here this morning. But he said, "Awake and weep and howl, you drinkers of wine." This isn't the prophet. This is still the word of the Lord to the children of Israel. Lord, help us today. Don't fall asleep in Zion, folks. Don't get comfortable where you are. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. You go through your trials and your difficulties. What kind of trial does the Lord permit to come your way? It's for your benefit. It's for your spiritual good. It isn't for me to look at the affliction that's on my body and start howling and crying about all of that. But Lord, you got my attention. What is it that you want me to hear? What is it that you want me to know? Lord, help us today to realize the things that come our way, the things that the enemy means to kill, to steal, and to destroy, that God will use that and turn it around. You know the scripture over there in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God. Folks, the Lord can take all these things that the enemy uses against us today, and God can turn it for good in each and every one of our hearts and in each and every one of our lives. Lord wants us to live a successful life for the Lord. He wants us to be an example. He wants us to be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, this fight, I want to tell you, don't get tired. Don't get weary. Don't get worn. Don't be weary in well-doing, folks. Don't get tired of this, because as long as you endeavor to live for the Lord and you got breath in your body, you got a fight on your hands. And it's your soul that's at stake. It's your soul that's at stake. Children of Israel, they were problem people. I've said before, and I'll say it again, they were more trouble than they were worth. God would give them a miracle, and a few days later, they'd forget all about it and start murmuring, complaining again. They wanted food. They wanted water. Folks, let me remind us this morning, those people were serving a God that was able to supply all their needs. And we're serving a God this morning that is able to supply all our needs. It does not matter what that need is. It does not matter how dark that the clouds are. Become over us. It does not matter those things. The sun is shining on the other side of those clouds. God is still on his throne. And it does not matter what we have to face in life. There is no reason that you and I should ever get the idea, except the enemy put it there. Well, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to give up and just go back to the... Folks, there's nothing to go back to. It's death and destruction to go back to. You and I've got to fight. We've got to hold on. We've got to be faithful. God sent, these were literal things back in the children of Israel's day. He sent things to cause famine in the land. He sent things to bring literal destruction among them. Their food was taken away, and their hope maybe was even taken away. But God got their attention, and eventually they turned back to God. God knows how to get our attention. And I want God to get my attention. I surely do. He said here in that seventh verse, He hath laid my vine waste. My vine. That was the children of Israel. That's who He's talking about there. And barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean and bare and cast it away. Folks, there was some great devastation back in those days. The children of Israel did some awful things. And they got far away from God, offering children unto idols and all those kind of things. They got into some awful trouble with God. But I'm thankful today that God loved them. What does the Bible say? He loves us with an everlasting love. Everlasting. We may not be much to love sometimes, very loving. We may not be very gentle sometimes. We may have attitude issues sometimes. We may have grieved the Lord sometimes. But you know, the Lord will just maybe back off a little bit and give us a little space and a little time, and then He'll send His Spirit to deal with us in a gentle and a quiet way. He doesn't want us to leave. He doesn't want to lose His children, folks. He loves us with an everlasting love. I'd like to turn over to the 40th chapter. Isaiah, the prophet, says this another way. Speaks to us a little differently, maybe. But I would like for us to look over here in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. It says, comfort ye, my people. Remember I said the judgments and the blessings of God? God has blessings for you and I, folks. He wants His people to be blessed. You know, I know there's a lot of afflictions among us, but I'll tell you something. God doesn't get glory out of having sick people. He doesn't get glory out of having sick church. But sometimes He allows the palmer worm or the canker worm or the locust to come to get our attention and help us. Folks, the whole idea is for me to be stronger tomorrow than I was today. The whole idea is for me to be closer to God tomorrow than I was today. The whole idea is that I have more faith tomorrow than I did today. More love tomorrow than... You get it, don't you? God wants us to draw close to Him. The brother prayed in his prayer to be rooted and grounded and settled. Folks, that was the Apostles Paul prayer for the church decades ago, years ago, centuries ago. That was his burden for the church. That we be rooted and grounded and settled. How is God going to do that with us? Is it just going to fall in your laps? Are you just going to grow? Folks, you got to eat to grow. You got to develop to grow, don't you? And the eating, what you're eating, the food, the things that you take into your heart and into your life, those are the things that cause you to develop. You are what you eat, the old saying is, and it's so true. You eat a bunch of junk food and your body probably fall apart before too long. You got to have the proper nutrition. The Lord has provided all of that. He's provided all of that for you and I because He loves us. The judgments and the blessings of the Lord our God. And oh, He has blessings. He said He would open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you would not even be able to contain it over in Malachi. And I believe that. God has it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What do you need this morning? Is it financial needs? Is it temporal needs of some kind? Is it physical needs? What is it? Is it mental? Is it emotional? He's got it all. He made us. He understands us. Your clock may tick a little different than mine. We're all a little different. But God understands us and He made us that way. What He wants to sanctify and cleanse and clear up is our nature. That we can glorify Him and honor Him with our life. Oh, I want to do that so bad. Remember when my brother, when I called my daughter, I was down in South Carolina. My daughter said, Charles, that's my brother, said, he wants you to call him. He said, I think he wants to get saved. So I called him. And I said, I hear you want to get saved. And you know what? Folks, I wish there were more like this. I want to do that so bad I can't hardly stand it. That was his words. He's in eternity now. He lived 8 months saved. But he was raised in the truth. And he knew what the Bible taught. I want to do that so bad I can't hardly stand it. Saints, I want to go to heaven so bad I can't hardly stand it. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I can't hardly stand it. I want to do more for the Lord. I wish I had better understanding. I wish I could do more for the Lord. But I want to be so faithful to Him with my life. And yet I live in this imperfect body. I live in this old flesh, but I want to. I want to do it so bad I can't hardly stand it. Lord, help us today to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Soul, mind, body, and strength. Loving with everything you have. Now the Lord sends a message through His prophet here. Comfort the people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Her iniquity has been pardoned. What'd that feel like to you? Do you remember what that felt like? When you brought your trash to the Lord? When you presented yourself in an altar of prayer? Do you remember what that felt like? I do. I can still remember what it felt like to get up off from that altar and go outside after service was over and stand there alone under a tree. I can still remember how so good it felt inside. Only God could give me something like that. It was such a comfort and such a blessing. But folks, that doesn't mean you get to enjoy it forever. The old devil came along under that tree. You've heard this several times. The old devil came along under that tree. I've been away from the Lord for 28 years. But the old devil come under that tree and he says, you're not going to be able to keep it. You know how your wife was raised. Your children has never been to church. They don't understand any of this. You're going to have to do it alone and you'll not be able to keep it. And that was 32 years ago. Folks, he's a liar. I don't know what he says to you. I don't know what he tries to do to you, to scare you, to bring fear upon you. But he's a liar. And he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, folks. It isn't something he had to practice. The devil has not had to practice what he does in imposing himself upon the hearts and minds of men and women. He had it all from the beginning. He was evil from the beginning. And he's evil now. I'm thankful for the comfort that I have 32 years later in knowing God can keep me right in the midst of it all. Still don't have my wife walking this way. Still don't have any children walking this way. But I'm walking this way. By the grace of God, I'm walking this way. And I know in my heart of hearts, if my wife was standing up here, she would testify to you, yeah, he's walking that way. My children would too. Folks, that's the kind of heritage that we got to leave our loved ones, whether they go this way or not. We got to leave them set a standard, the Bible standard, with our lives in a place that even after we leave this old world, they remember that's where Dad was. That's where Mom was. That's the way they lived. Who do they call when they get in trouble? Who do they call? They call us, don't they? When our children get in trouble. Oh, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. God wants to comfort us this morning. Yes, He'll send judgments. He'll send things to make for you and I that will make amends in our ways. That'll bring us, get us back on the right track, right path. Draw us closer to the Lord. Whatever it takes. Wasn't that what the song says? Whatever it takes, Lord. That's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes. You know, this is just a simple little message this morning. I understand that. But it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is a prophecy of John the Baptist, isn't it? Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. How many of you this morning has God done that in your life? How many times has He straightened the way? Taken away the crooked, the hard and the difficult path that you've been on. How many times has He made straight the way? How many times has He done that? And He said He would make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every mountain and every hill shall be made low. God knows how to do that. You and I, all we have to do is trust and let Him do it. Draw nigh to God. What does the scripture say? He'll draw nigh to you. And who did He say He would give grace to? He giveth grace to the humble, doesn't He? That's who He gives His grace to. Lord, help us to be a humble people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and every hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I'll have to admit, I've been through some rough places, and you have too. God will reveal Himself to us in those places, folks. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He'll reveal Himself. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now this is what I want to get down to. The voice said, cry. And He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. How many times in your life? How many times? Let's be honest with ourselves today. I don't want anybody to speak out about it, but how many times have you had these big ideas? How many times have you had these big dreams? And they really, really didn't come from God. They really, really don't involve God. Folks, we need to make our decisions for the sake of our soul. Every one of us make choices. We plan out our lives. We decide we're going to do this. We decide we're going to do that. You better put God in it. And don't just go ahead and do it and draw God around it. Put God in it before you do it. And let Him be your guide. Let Him be your helper and strength. All flesh is grass. The goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, this is basically saying the same thing that Joel did. The canker worm, the palmer worm, the locust, the caterpillar. God sent those things, but right here, Isaiah's telling us in our day that the Spirit of the Lord will blow upon it. God loves us so much, He will send us possibly hardship and difficulty at times if that's what it takes to get our attention. I don't know about you, but I've always been one in the past years that's been hard-headed and it was hard to get my attention. God knows how to do that. And He knows how to save us and keep us saved. He knows how to keep us saved. Make your decisions with your soul at stake. Your soul in mind, folks. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God. I love that so much. The word of our God shall stand forever. We're going to fade away. We're going to go, as I heard at Monarch, we're going to go under the sod. We're all going there. Under the sod. But the word of God, folks, is eternal. It's eternal. The word of our God shall stand forever. If you don't stand with the word, you're going to fail. But the word will stand alone. It doesn't need you and I. It doesn't require you and I to stand with it in order for it to stand. But if we don't stand with it, we're going to fail. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word is eternal, but so is our souls. Our souls are eternal too, folks. The old little saying has been very prominent in my mind lately for some reason. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what we do for our eternal souls, for the Son of God, is the only thing that's going to have any real meaning in eternity. The only thing that's going to have any real meaning in eternity. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Oh, folks, I want to see that. I want to enjoy the blessings of this great salvation that He has so wonderfully given us. Let's look, let's go back now to the book of Joel. You all know by now it's right after Hosea. The book of Joel again, the second chapter this time. I want to begin reading in the 21st verse. Listen to the words here. Fear not, O land. Remember, the word of the Lord came to Joel. He said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid. This is the blessings of the Lord. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. He'll rain down blessings upon your life, folks. He'll cause you to prosper. He will cause you to prosper. It takes Him to do that. It takes His grace. It takes His love. It takes His mercy for you and I to prosper. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. That's His blessings. That's what He wants us to enjoy this morning. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Folks, 28 years I went away from the Lord. When I was younger, I was sweetly saved and had a good experience. But I went away 28 years. Do you know the things that destroyed me there? The things that I got involved in, the habits and the things that I got in with the world. And He said, I'll restore you the years that these things have eaten. And you know the Lord has restored that. He's restored that for me. He's helped me to get past and beyond those 28 years that I was away from God. And He has blessed me and poured out so much goodness and mercies to me. I will restore unto you the years, the wasted years. How many of you? Some of you didn't have a whole lot of wasted years, but I had some wasted years. Wasted them. Wasted my time. Day in, day out, the Lord still looked down with mercy and love upon my soul. Could have been out into eternity many times, but the Lord had mercy. All those wasted years, and the Lord just looking down. I love you. I'm waiting on you. Come to your senses. I'm waiting on you to get a mind. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Moses says, who should I tell him sent me? He said, I am. Tell him I am sent you. You know, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God. Now listen to this blessing that the Lord has for you and I today from the prophet Joel. And it came to pass afterwards, it shall come to pass, afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Are you thankful for the Spirit of God today? Back there in the days of the people that Joel was prophesying to, they did not have the indwelling Spirit within them. They didn't have that. But you and I have something so precious today. We are living in the best dispensation of time there ever was to be saved and living for God. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Oh, there's so much that the Lord really wants to do for us. He wants to use you to be a blessing to me. He wants to use you to build up the church. He wants to use each and every one of us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, I don't know what your understanding of that is. My understanding of that verse right there in his prophecy is about a very dark time in the history of the children of Israel. A very dark time in their history. The time that God allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed. There was destruction in that city. There were atrocities that went on in that city, and I've described them before in the past. But there was such a devastation in the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the city where God said he would come and dwell among them. There was such a devastation 70 AD when Titus set up his army in array against Jerusalem and destroyed it. But oh, the awfulness. The terribleness of things that were going on inside the city among the people. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord came. Come. Folks, at that time in Israel's history, when Jerusalem was destroyed, there was no shouting time, there was no happy time, there was an absence of the presence of God. He had left them unto themselves, to their own devices, because they wouldn't take heed to the prophets. Remember when Jesus said, and he was a prophet, but he was also the Son of God. Remember when it says he sat and wept over Jerusalem? He wept. He cried. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together, but you would not. Even as a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't do it. Now, Jesus prophesied, is your house left unto you desolate? He saw that time. Jesus knew that time. Folks, Jesus knows all time. He knows the hearts and the minds of men and women today. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what our motives are. He knows what our desire is. He knows if we're going to press on to make it too. He knows that. Let's not break Jesus' heart. Let's glorify him with our lives. He went on to say, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I don't know if we have enough time left in this life, in this world. I don't know if we have enough time left or not. But I don't foresee too many more remnants. I don't foresee too many more tares. I'm not saying that there won't be some that would walk away and leave the church. But he said here, As the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I want to be in that remnant. I want to be in that part, folks. No, there's a name. I'm going to close here. There's people that have been on the scene down through your life, down through my life, and way before our lives. There's people, if you just say, they just have one name. Just one name. You know Mozart. You know Picasso. He was a painter, right? Well, at least he thought he was. I never cared much about that stuff. Beethoven. You know who that is. Shakespeare. We know who that is. No, just one name. If I say Elvis, do you know who that is? The older ones? We know who Elvis was, don't we? I want to give you a name this morning. The greatest name given unto men under heaven, whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus, folks. The Lord wants to pour out blessings upon us through His Son. And all that He conquered there on Calvary, and all that He gave in His life and His blood that was shed for us. I want to tell you, there's a name. And it isn't Elvis. It isn't Sinatra. It isn't all these people that, idols that man has created out there. But there's a great name this morning, and His name is Jesus, the Son of God. Folks, what I was reading to you here at the end of this second chapter of Joel was God's love manifested to you and I in our day through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit. No wonder, you know, there's no wonder that Jesus said it's necessary, it's expedient that I go away that I might send the Comforter. He knew what we needed. It was the complete fulfillment of the plan of God for His people. That I will send you the Holy Spirit. And I don't miss too many times in prayer. And I don't believe in repetitive prayers so much. But I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for His Word. And I thank the Lord for His Spirit. I believe those are the two things that help me to stay faithful and help me to be strong. Down through my walk with the Lord, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. I appreciate God's love this morning. I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate what He's doing for us, what He wants to do for us. My suggestion is that we open up our hearts, that we open up our minds, that we, when I say open up our hearts, I'm thinking of a song that says there's a place in my heart where I'm not willing to go. Open up every recess of the heart. Every place of your heart. Those things that you hold dear and precious, open it up and give it to Him. Let Him have it. Let Him have His way with it. You know, when one of your loved ones dies, someone that you love dearly, there's places that, recesses in your heart that ache and grieve. And they hurt deeply. We have to open it up to let the Lord get in there and heal us, don't we? We need healing today. There's healing in Zion. There's healing in the church of God. Lord, help us today. God sends judgments. But oh, I believe He delights in sending blessings to His people. I thank God for His blessings, for His mercy, for His love to me. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Amen.